New Hollywood is presented by the Apple TV Plus original series, The Morning Show. The drama series explores the cutthroat world of morning news and the lives of the people who help America wake up in the morning. Told through the lens of two complicated women working to navigate the minefield of high-octane jobs while facing crises in both their personal and professional lives, The Morning Show is an unapologetically candid drama that looks at the power dynamics between women and men and women and women in the workplace. The Morning Show stars Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Steve Carell, Billy Crudup, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, and Mark Duplass for your Emmy consideration. Hello, folks. Welcome to Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dino Ray Ramos.
And I'm Amanda Nduka. Welcome to the home edition, the quarantine edition of our podcast. So today we have the star of, who do we have, Dina?
We have The Outsiders, Cynthia Erivo. Yes. You know what? And if you don't know her from The Outsider, you know her from everything else.
Definitely know her. You know her from Broadway. You know her from the Harriet movie that just came out last year.
She was nominated. Widows.
Yeah, she was nominated for Oscars for that. She is, and then she's also doing Aretha, Nat Geo's Aretha, Genius Aretha, the Aretha Franklin adaptation.
For this episode, we do focus more on The Outsider because, you know, it's in a role that I've never seen her in, it's something that I've never seen her, it's just a role that we haven't seen her in before.
Yeah,
it's so interesting. Yeah.
She plays a detective.
Very, on the spectrum.
Yeah, it's a very nuanced performance, and it's Stephen King, so obviously it has the horror and the supernatural element to it. Jason Bateman is also in it. I don't know if people know the premise or whatever, but they're finding this entity that kills children.
And that's all you need to know.
That they're sort of on the hunt to solve this mystery. But it's really great. And we talk about how she sort of tackled this role to show the nuance of this person. She also, we talked about Aretha. She gave us a little bit on that. She's just a dope person. She's doing dope things. I mean.
Well, also, I do regret the fact, when we have, really talented guests who could sing,
yeah,
I try my hardest just not to say, hey, can you sing us something? That is so annoying, but I really wanted her to sing something.
Especially after hearing her Hero rendition.
Yes.
I just love hearing that. But she's amazing. If you haven't seen The Outsiders, it's on HBO.
Yes.
Check it out. And then also you can see her in Aretha later on.
Coming up.
Yeah, this year.
This year. I don't know if they have an exact release date yet, but
But without further ado, here is Cynthia.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. This episode, we have the lovely... the incomparable Cynthia Erivo. How are you, Cynthia?
I'm good. I'm good, thanks.
That was how are you doing, Cynthia?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Thank you. Busy, but good. Yeah.
Busy is good.
And busy is a blessing right now, especially during these times. So, what have you been up to during this quarantine? Are you taking this time to relax? I mean, you said you're busy. Are you working a lot still?
Yeah, so when I first got, when this first happened, I started recording. So my label was like, okay, so you're at home, you're not going anywhere, which is great because you're always going somewhere. Now you're in one place. We needed to record that album. Thank you.
No excuses.
So I've been on and off recording the album, and I've had to do a lot of different recordings anyway. So I did the one for PBS for Memorial Day. I did something for American Idol. I just finished recording something. I think there's a graduate thing happening. Soon recorded something for that. I've got a lot of scripts that I'm reading. We have to still get ready for that, because when we come back, Aretha is still happening. So that script is still coming, and we're still learning about that. And I've been on different interviews every single day and talking about different projects that we might starting some projects. I think there's a project that hasn't been announced yet, but it will be, and I'll be co-producing that. So we have to get into prep, and they want to start filming now, but in time, so people will be doing it for themselves, hopefully. And I'm looking forward to that. So I'm still working things out and figuring out what to do, reading a lot.
No, you're definitely staying busy. I have to say, I loved your rendition of Hero, Mariah Carey's Hero. how would you describe the sound of your album?
How do I describe my sound of my album? It's hard because I don't think there's a specific genre, even though I know that I love soul and I love R&B, and I think that's just a part of who I am. But I think, let's call it emotive. I call it emotive, in that it is about emotions. It is about heartache and love and all of those things, and things that we experience as human beings. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. I write mostly from experience, so that's what you'll hear. You'll hear stories that I.
So we're gonna be in our feelings, like Drake.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, I just want to touch on your background, because you and I have similar backgrounds. We both grew up in Nigerian households. So I want to know your story about how you sort of made it to the industry. Like what was that journey like for you, and how did your parents initially take it when you told them this is what you wanted to do?
See, so I was raised by my mom solely, and I feel like she kind of knew before I did. Mm-hmm. She had this baby book, which I tell all the time because it's true. She has this baby book, and she would write in the back of it, there's a little bit in the back that asks you what you think your child will be. And she writes, first time she writes down about what she thinks I'm going to be, she writes down that she thinks I'm going to be a singer and an actress, because she hums when she eats. And then the second time she writes it, I think this is when I was about two, she writes that she thinks I'm going to be a singer and a doctor, or an actress and a doctor, because I started copying what she was doing. She was the nurse, mm-hmm. and she would come back and she would write prescriptions and she would get everything sorted for work, and she would have her uniform and all of that, and I would copy what I was seeing. But I think that was actually probably the actor part of me going, oh, I want to play this. But she noticed all of that, and I guess she never pushed for me to do what I'm doing, but she never discouraged. She always encouraged me to follow the thing that I wanted to do the most, because I think she came from a place that told her what she should be, and she ended up doing what she wanted to do. So I think she already had that sort of ethos anyway. Mm-hmm. So when I told her that I was going to be an actress, I think she kind of was like, yes.
I love that. And I love that. Like, I feel like there are more and more Nigerian families that are now like encouraging their kids to explore the arts, if that's where they see their talents lie. So that's really, really cool. Who were your inspirations when you were coming up? Who were some people that you looked up to?
Different, because I sing and I act, mm-hmm. and there are different, there's like people who are like the combination of both of those things. I was obsessed with Barbara Streisand. I was obsessed with Judy Garland, obsessed with Aretha Franklin, obsessed with Diana Ross, obsessed with, I loved Viola Davis. When I first saw her, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's cool. She's amazing, because I'd never seen anyone like her before. She was just, I thought that, you know, we all love Meryl Streep, and I was like, I don't know, do we have someone that like can go toe to toe? And Viola Davis was that for me. I was like, her. And Angela Davis she's just a hero. So, you know, Nina Simone is because of the imperfection of the way she embraces music. Because for her, it wasn't about making a pretty sound. It really was about, you know, communicating a message, communicating the cause at the time, communicating how she felt, communicating how people felt as a nation, she just had a wonderful way of using her music to do that. And more it became about freedom for her. And I just thought she was incredible. And then to know that her, you know, I didn't realize at the beginning when I first started to learn about her, that her love actually was being a concert pianist. She wanted to be a classical concert pianist. And I don't know that she ever got to live that dream out, but her piano playing is second to none. She's unbelievable. And I don't know that people know her for that as well, but I think the idea that someone can house that much talent like that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That she spoke fluent French as well, which is like...
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. What? How? I have loads of different... influences and people I look up to for very different reasons, but I think that they're all a combination. The combination of those people is kind of what I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And you sort of, you bursted on the scene, I would say, in Broadway. That's where, yeah. And then obviously now you're doing film, you're doing TV, you're doing albums. How has this transition been from being on the stage to now being in front of the camera a lot, or, you know, how's that been for you?
So being on stage is really beautiful because you get to have this live element. There's no re-records. You can't go back on yourself. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake and you have to keep plowing forward and figuring out how to keep going. And you get energy from the people there and then. I used to say that when you're on stage, your audience will tell you what they need. And so when you're not and you're on screen, you have to sort of trust that your director, your castmates, everyone around you, even the people doing the lighting, the people doing the rigging, all of those people will give you something, because they will. They'll give you feedback by the way they behave, or the thing that they might say, or they like that scene, or that what you did there is really great. You have amazing eyes. I'm going close to your eyes. So that means, okay, so something about what I'm doing with my eyes is giving you what you need for this storytelling. Great. I'm going to keep doing that. You know, it is a change and you have to get used to it. And I guess when it comes to music, there isn't much difference because I'm still able to perform live. I'm still able to be on stage and performing, and, you know, recording an album is just something I want to do, but it's not taking me away from performing live. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do live recordings anyway. So there's that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you went from, you know, we mentioned The Color Purple, which, by the way, I remember I was in New York and I couldn't get a ticket when you were performing, so I missed that boat.
They should make a movie version of that performance, of your performance, because
that performance, though, yeah. I'm telling you.
That issue.
So you went from, like, The Color Purple, and then you went to doing movies like Widows with Viola Davis, by the way, and yep. At Times at the El Royale, which, by the way, I think is underrated, by the way.
Thanks. I like that movie, too.
It's so fun.
I love doing it. I love doing it. Yeah.
And then, you know, you have Harriet, and now you have The Outsider. Yeah. But, you know, these are very specific. And then Aretha coming up. These are very specific kind of roles, very different, diverse from each other, but how did these roles speak to where you were or are in your career as an actor and as a performer?
I think what I try to do with these roles, and I have an amazing team that, and they understand what it is I'm trying to do, and that is to portray the lives of women that we just never really get to meet. You know, if you think about Harriet's story just hadn't really been told in full on the big screen until that movie. And you only really had, I think you had a TV movie with Cicely Tyson, and you had that amazing version from Underground with Aisha Hines, and then this movie version, but it just had never been done on the big screen. And her story as a whole had not been done. So it's a hero whose story had just never been heard of, never been spoken about, never been given to people to pay attention to. Holly from The Outsider is such an anomaly, a woman who is on the spectrum, who is different, is a woman of color, is in the police force, is as an investigator is just all of these weird different things combined in one person. I had never seen anyone like that, so I knew that I wanted to play that, and I felt like it was written in such a rounded, well-rounded way that I just couldn't miss up the opportunity to play someone like that. Again, Darlene, who I guess was slightly modeled after Darlene Love, who is one of the most incredible singers, but lived her life as a backing vocalist for the longest time. And it took her a really long time before she was in front and center. And I don't know if you've seen this documentary, 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yes.
It's amazing. And I can watch it over and over. I think I've watched it at least 4 or 5 times at this point. And her story is sort of the thing that runs all the way through it. And it, again, I'd never seen the story of the backing vocalist who was just trying to like make her way to the front, like just trying to make music, and to be able to sing live on set, in the middle of a horror film in the six, like the whole thing was just different. So I was like, I'd love to do that. The Outsider, The Widows with Belle, who is this young, fiery, fit woman who is unabashedly doing whatever she can in order to make her life the way she wants it. And we're not judging her for it. She's not a bad person, nor is she particularly a good person. She just is. And I loved that. I loved that about that. And I didn't know that it would pop the way it did. I just loved how it was written. And so I guess the aim is to find these women who we don't get to meet very often, who we don't get to hear from very often, and tell their stories, really, because I think they're interesting stories to be told, and we should know about them. Yeah.
With The Outsider, you know, Stephen King's story, you know, how familiar were you with that story? And, you know, when you first, you know, booked the role, how did you want to approach it? Because, you know, she is on Spectrum. She is this very unique character. Mm-hmm. And how did you even start to, did it scare you? How did you wrap your mind around this?
How do you unpack a character like that?
Yeah.
Bit by bit. So when I had not heard of her. I hadn't read a lot of Stephen King. And when I knew that it was part of the Stephen King trilogies or books, I just
universe,
that's the word. I just decided I wasn't going to read her because I didn't want anything to influence how I played her. I really wanted her to feel fresh and new. And when I had spoken to Jason Bateman about her, he was like, well, this is the character, we feel like he could be really cool. She's very different. If you're into it, like, this might be an interesting new woman to get your teeth into and play. She's different from anything you've done before, but I think that you might be really cool for her. And I loved the opportunity to do something that was just new and different. The way I unpacked her was just by, I was lucky enough to have a really good script. And you read when you read the script, it's written in a particular rhythm. There's like a rhythm she has in the way she speaks. And so you break that down and you try and make sure that that rhythm is still connected and grounded, as opposed to letting it go too far, get too big, or go too small. You sort of have to find the humanity in it, because I think, you know, you read something like that and you think, do I play her like she's a robot? Do I play her like she's like unable to like connect with anyone? No, what's interesting, it's about trying to find the most interesting way of playing this woman. And for me, that was to find the humanity and ground her so that those things that were odd didn't feel, it's like you can't quite work out what is it about this person that is so different from everybody else, but still I can connect with her. But she finds it difficult to connect with everybody else, but is genuinely mm-hmm. the effort to do so. And I just wanted to, I wanted people to meet this woman who was on the spectrum, who was human, and who was just trying to make it work like everybody else, who happened to be a brilliant mind. And that's sort of where I started. If you start with empathy and no judgment, you could probably find what you need to play someone.
Oh my God, that's like life lesson, right? In general. Exactly.
Yeah. Do you often find commonalities with the people that you play?
Sometimes, sometimes not. And I always find it really interesting when I have nothing in common with them, because I have to find myself like, Holly was like the opposite of me. She hates music, can't stand heights. doesn't want to listen to one of, like, it's like, doesn't understand jokes, doesn't really know why people joke in the first place. Like, she's just, she's very, very different to me. Doesn't do the whole style thing. It's like a button up and some chinos and some boots and I'm good to go. That's it for her. It's sort of the opposite of who I am, which I love, because it meant that I could step outside of myself completely and into this person, sort of give Holly the space, which is me as a vessel, to come forward and say hi to people, really. Yeah. You sort of forget about yourself and go and fall into the character. Yeah.
Did anything about your performance of Holly and the Outsider, did anything surprise you? Or did anything come out that maybe you were like, oh, I didn't know that I had this in me?
I guess her, the way she would move. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I planned it that way. She has a way that she moves. She has a way that she walks. She has a way that she addresses people. There's this weird thing that I watched the first episode when you first introduced to her, episode 3, and she starts explaining what she's like and why and what she's been through and what she can do. And before she explains that, Ben Mendelsohn's character, Ralph, says, I don't remember doing this, but when I watched it back, Holly does this. And I don't remember these little quirks that she would do, the moving the finger off taking a finger, the ring off and putting it back on and twisting it around. Those little tiny quirks, you don't know that they're happening until they happen. They're sort of a pattern that you find for these people. It's the rhythm that they have in them. I didn't know that that was in me. My hairstylist had a videotape of me. I say videotape, like I'm definitely a 90s kid. He recorded me as I was walking across the set. I had no idea he was recording me. I was just walking somewhere. I don't know where I was going, but I looked like I was on a mission. And when he played it back to me, I was like, I don't know who that is, but it's not me, because that's not my walk.
Wow.
And he was like, I know that's not you, because you would come into this trailer and do your makeup and it would not be Cynthia, it would be Holly. The rhythm that you would speak in, the tone that you would speak in, the way you would move, that was not you. And I'd be like, it's so strange, because you don't know it's happening. You don't know that that's what's taking over. But it's sort of like, I guess when you give a character enough room, they just sort of do what they do and exist how they need to exist. Yeah.
New Hollywood is presented by the Apple TV Plus original series, The Morning Show. The drama series explores the cutthroat world of morning news and the lives of the people who help America wake up in the morning. Told through the lens of two complicated women working to navigate the minefield of high-octane jobs while facing crises in both their personal and professional lives, The Morning Show is an unapologetically candid drama that looks at the power dynamics between women and men and women and women in the workplace. The Morning Show stars Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Steve Carell, Billy Crudup, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, and Mark Duplass for your Emmy consideration.
With characters like Holly, you know, she is on a spectrum, and we are in this time of, you know, representation, and the mental health disabilities, these are this community that has been haven't been portrayed in the longest time. Yeah. How, you know, I'm sure you had, you know, advisors and they were very responsible with the portrayal, but how did you want to give, give justice, or, you know, to this portrayal of someone who is on the spectrum, and how careful, and how did you just even navigate that?
Yeah, I had realized that people on the spectrum are often portrayed on TV as though they're not human. It's like sometimes it always just goes too far, and so you can't, and as if they don't connect at all with people. And not every one of the people on the spectrum are savants. Like, some of them are just working out how to connect. There's just a difficulty in connection, and that we as human beings can understand. And the thing I wanted to do was make sure that when people watched this, they could understand that someone on the spectrum isn't someone that you should outcast, or someone on the spectrum isn't someone that you can't communicate with and you can't have a conversation with, that people on the spectrum can fall in love, can wear braids, can have nails, can be great, can be brilliant minded, can have conversations that are difficult. It just takes them a second to connect the dots sometimes. And sometimes it just, they work faster than people, but it doesn't mean that they should be outcast. Mm. That doesn't make sense to me. And what I just was trying to make sure that there was a really good balance of her brilliance and humanity all in one place. That was the thing that I really wanted to make sure was happening. Mm. And I can't tell you how many people reached out to say, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I have a son who's on the spectrum. I have a daughter who's on the spectrum. I'm on the spectrum. And I'm watching this, felt like finally someone had seen me. Finally, someone had given a representation of something that I understand as what I represent. And that just meant a lot, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, like what I've learned, especially with speaking, you know, with people who are in the space of disabilities and mental health, is that I think for so long, Hollywood has looked at people with disabilities as different or like portraying them in a certain way, but they're the same as us. They just do things differently.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think that's the same for Holly. She processes in a different way. She comes at things from a completely different way. But and if she didn't, she wouldn't be as brilliant as she was. Do you know what I mean? Like processing and getting things done in a different way doesn't mean that you are not part of the wider community of human beings. Like I don't believe that at all.
We're all human beings at the end of the day. Yeah. Like and everybody has different everything. So So I was at TCA when they showed the clip from the upcoming season of Urethra, and I'm so excited for that season. What can you tell us about it? I know you said you guys were shut down because of the pandemic, so you're still filming
8 episodes and we shut down on episode 6.
Okay, so what can you tell us so far about it? I love Urethra. I'm a huge Urethra fan. What can you tell us about it?
I can tell you that I am singing live on set. Every song I have sung live. I can tell you that we are trying to unpack the complexity of her. She was a complex human being, and there are moments where it's not cradle to grave. We're talking from the early, like late 40s. There's a young Aretha, and when you meet me in the 60s. And you go through with me to the 90s, early 90s. And, you know, it's just about her relationships and who she was and how she made her music and how it came to her. The fact that she was about equal rights, that she was about the Black Power movement, and she was trying to make sure that there was equality for people of color, and that it meant a lot to her. I think people don't realize that she was an activist in her way, and that she had a complex life and she worked through a lot of things to get to where she was. And I don't know that people really understand that about her. We see Aretha, the woman who made beautiful music and was super successful, but she had to work through a lot to get to that point. You get to see how she handles all of those things. So all of the difficult things that we as human beings and as women struggle with sometimes.
Do you ever get nervous or feel sort of, I guess, a pressure to portray characters that are already sort of known to people, like a Holly? She was in the book. Aretha Franklin obviously is an icon. Do you get nervous about portraying these type of people?
Not necessarily nervous. I do feel a responsibility to try and do it as truthfully and as fully as I possibly can. I know that I can't be the person because the person already exists. But I know that I can put my best foot forward and do as much as I possibly can to make this person and do this person justice. Mm. Is that what I try to do, at least. With a Holly, I saw her as a fresh new person. I hadn't met her yet before. I hadn't met her in the book. I hadn't seen her in I think there was a series that had gone before. I hadn't seen that character. I hadn't seen that woman play her. It felt like I was getting a chance to do something completely new and original. And that's how I came at it, because that helped free it up for me to do what I needed to do. But for Harriet and for Aretha, you do as much research as you possibly can. You read as much as you possibly can. You listen to as much as you possibly can. You look at as much as you possibly can. And then you kind of let it go and then do your best. Mm. Is basically what it is, yeah.
What would you say your favorite Aretha song is?
Ain't No Way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I sing that.
That was quick.
Yeah. So what other than Aretha that's coming, it's coming out this year, right? I'm spacing on the date. Yeah. What, and other than that, what else do you have coming up that you can talk about? Or if you can't talk about anything, is there something that you've been really wanting to do that you haven't tried yet? Any role that you've been wanting to take that you haven't done yet?
I really want to like step into the world of like fantasy, and because I haven't done that yet. And I would love to do some Marvel. I'd love to do some whatever. Like, there's a really beautiful book, Children of Blood and Bone, coming. I would love to be a part of that because I'm obsessed with that book. And Tommy Adeyemi is amazing. Yeah. I just want to keep playing cool roles. I'd love to be in a film with Meryl Streep because that would be fun. Heck of a lot. there are some things that I've got coming up, but we're sort of like deciding when they go. There's a film that we're working out at the moment and doing the contract for, and hopefully I can get into producing myself at some point very soon.
Good.
That might be on the horizon.
Do you have any plans to tour or do Broadway or anything like that with your album? Is there a tour coming up, or are we gonna ever see you back on Broadway?
You might see me back on Broadway. I just have to find the right thing for myself. I have to be like, I want a piece to feel as meaty as The Color Purple. I was spoiled. I ruined myself by doing The Color Purple. I really did.
Yeah.
Because it messed it up for my expectation of what I'm going to do next. Like, if it doesn't like feel as fulfilling as that, then there's no point, because it's like going backwards and I don't want to do that. So if I find something that feels right for me, I'll do that. And with the music, if it gets ready and it feels right, then yeah, of course I'll tour it. Yeah, I love singing live, so that's definitely.
I'm all for seeing you in something Marvel, DC, fantasy, sci-fi. Come through Black Panther 2.
Yes.
We're all about manifestation.
Send it out. Give it to the world. Yes.
Seeing you with Meryl would be a dream as well. And I remember during Widows when you were you would post your workout videos on your Instagram. Yeah. I was like, and I would be on my couch eating cheese puffs or something. I'd be like, oh, look. I'm like, Cynthia's working out for all of us.
Wait, are you still working out like that? Are you doing?
I took a break, but I'm back at it. So yeah, still
working. That your workouts, yeah. It was you and The Rock. Those are the two.
I love, that is great. That's cool. Do we do that? Do we do me and The Rock at some point?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I should put out a workout video, you and The Rock.
A workout video followed by a buddy comedy.
Yes.
That would actually be kind of
fun. Dino has all the ideas right now. Okay. We're throwing everything out.
So you know what? We make things happen at deadline. we're gonna make this happen, guys.
Good. Love that.
Cynthia, we like to wrap up the interview with this little segment we call the FAQs, or the facts, just fun questions to tie everything together. So your first question is, since you're on a series based on Stephen King novel, what was your favorite horror movie?
Oh, my favorite horror movie. You know what? I'm going to say it was Get Out.
Good.
But is that a horror though? Wasn't that the big?
It's a documentary.
It's more like a psychological thriller, which is where that's my thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't like gore. Not good with the gory.
Oh, you're not. So you're more thriller, less gore and horror. Okay.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of all under the same umbrella.
Though, yeah. So. I think so.
Yeah. Do you have any bizarre pre-performance rituals or odd superstitions?
I don't think I have any odd superstitions, but before I perform, I always warm up, I always say a prayer, and I think each character has a scent, so I find whatever perfume or scent works for each character. Yeah, like for Celie, it was sandalwood and lavender, I think it was. For Darlene, I had like a sweet perfume that I would use. I want to say it was maybe Santal or something like that. And for Holly,
I like that scent.
Yeah, it's really good. For Holly, it was like, I want to say it was like a woody, was it like a, maybe like Tom Ford Woodward or something like that, just like a deep, heavy scent. And for Aretha, it sort of changes because she's like, throughout the season, she's sort of like, in the 60s, it's something sweet. In the 70s, it's more like essences. It's like, I would burn incense all the time in the trailer, and it sort of leaves a scent on your clothes, which is kind of cool. And then, which was, what did I use? I used frankincense. There's a frankincense and myrrh, like a sweet frankincense and myrrh. incense. Which I use, which is actually kind of apt, which I use as well. What did I use for Belle? I can't remember what I used for Belle. It was like a really, like a young, like one of those young perfumes that, like a Chanel number, like Chanel, Coco Chanel or something, you know, the young one. So each character scent.
That is so cool that you
that is amazing.
Like so sense memory, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you have just like a collection of fragrances then?
That's bad. Yeah. It's bad. It likes bad. It's bad.
I love it.
Because I usually just have one bottle of cologne that just lasts me for like 5 years.
I'm terrible. Okay. I have like, and I never like, I've never just used one scent for myself, which is kind of fun because like when I get to these characters, I'm never attached to a scent. I'm sort of like, I just use it as I go. Yeah,
that's so cool. That's so fascinating.
Okay, so would you rather have chapped lips that never heal or terrible dandruff that never come that can never be treated?
What? Who?
That's me.
That's a hard one. Ooh.
This is kind of gross. I was thinking about this too. Gross.
Like, if I had the chapped lips that never heal, would I be able to like remedy the immediate situation in the day? Because then I could just put like lip balm on.
I guess see, that's the question. You know, like a temporary.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll allow it.
I'd rather have the chapped lips that never heal. Because if I can allow at least have a like a temporary fix,
yeah, you can always put on like lipstick or something.
With the dandruff, I think you don't have to wear black.
All kind of things. You can't wear black. You can't wear. It's too, no, because it's not just the dandruff, is it? It's not just the dandruff. Right. It's the clothes. It's the having to wash the clothes with the dandruff and the having to figure that out. And like, no,
that's people commenting or people commenting. Is it snowing outside?
That's too much. At least with chapped lips, people feel bad for you. Like, hey, do you want some lip balm?
Yeah.
So an evil wizard casts a spell on you, and she only allows you to sing one song for the rest of your life.
Okay.
What song would that be, and why?
You know what? I'm going to go to I'm Here. And you know why? Because I know that it has brought a lot of people a lot of happiness. And I keep being asked to sing it. And it, for some reason, cracks people open in a way that I didn't truly understand at the beginning of it. But then singing that song for 14 months and watching people change because of that song and realize dreams because of that song and be stronger because of that song meant a lot. So if I could sing only one song, it would be I'm Here, because I know that it would have a great reaction. Like, it would have a great effect on people. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's such a good answer and such a selfless one too. I love it.
Okay. If you could make a 20-second phone call to yourself at any point in your life, present or future, when would you call and what would you say?
I would call... I probably would have called myself at 23? I think it was 23, and I was on my Brompton bike riding to like a temp job or something, and I would have called her and I would have said, "You're doing fine. You're going. You're gonna be okay."
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good question. Because 20 seconds is not a lot of time.
I think I would call my friend and be like, I'll be like, girl, so how did we end up? All right, cool.
But I think, but that's such a good answer. It's just like calling your past self,
yeah,
especially with people who have been historically marginalized or just kind of bullied or whatever, to say, you're going to be okay. I mean, it sucks now.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a glow up later.
Yeah. Because I often get asked, what would you, if you could change anything about your past, what would it be? And I'm always like, I wouldn't change anything, because I think if I did change anything, I probably wouldn't be here. Like, everything I have done has led me to where I am right now.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change this for the world.
Yeah.
And our final question, we ask this to all our guests, is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, creator, that's not in the mainstream, that you want to give shine to, give love to, and you think deserves more recognition than they're getting? And you could give us multiple people too.
Okay. Underrepresented. Ooh, who do I pick? Jeremy Pope, who's just
he was on our podcast. Love.
Yeah, he was so, oh God, he's so dreamy.
And Dreamy is a person and has been working really, really hard. So I want to see loads more from him. Who else? I want to see Danielle Brooks in some really great movies. I love her, and she's my good friend, and I think she's incredible. I want to see more from DeWanda. Mm-hmm.
She was on her podcast too.
Amazing. Love her. I spoke to a writer called Wanuri. She wrote Rafiki. I want to see lots more from her because I think she's incredible. Underrepresented. There's a singer called Michael Kiwanuka. He wrote the song for Big Little Lies. That the theme tune is his.
Oh yeah.
He's wonderful and salt of the earth. There's an English singer called Tawia who is beautiful. Her music is incredible. I want to see more from her. I don't know.
there's a lot.
a lot, you know. My producer, who I accosted and told him he was going to help me make my album, his name's Will Wells. Mm. He just makes great music and it is a genius and is brilliant.
Names. Those are great names. Yeah.
Those are great names. I mean, we just love it when people help, you know, lift each other up.
Yeah, that's what that's
deadlines in the hall.
So, yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. You had a great conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully on the other side of this, we could see each other again.
Yeah. I'm sure we will. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Yeah.
And I love this chair that you're sitting on here with the like a chaise or something with the.
Oh yeah.
Like
Amanda's background is always really dramatic chair
room right now. So I'm at home. So there's not that many rooms to go to here. I don't know if you guys heard a baby crying. There's a lot of noise in this house.
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. No.
Yeah. My brother has a 3-month-old and he just started going crazy. Wow. Yeah. So there's a lot of noise, like dogs barking, people coming in and out. So this is probably the only place I can get quiet for a long time.
It adds to the ambiance of the podcast.
But I would rather have a background like yours, Cynthia. I'm like, that's really, really smart.
This is like great.
I love the fact that it's a little doggy looking through a telescope.
Isn't it cute? It's so funny because this dog looks a little bit like my actual dog. So he's white with like brown spots. That's a little dog with white and brown spots. Let me see. I don't know if you can.
The dog.
You can see the little doggy. Oh my God. We're going to look. Oh, your doggy's down there?
Can you see it? No, my dog is outside.
I was going to say, your dog is so quiet.
He has a bell on. I put a bell on his collar because the last time he got lost.
Oh,
he
wanted
out. The problem is he's really intelligent, so finds ways to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how did you do this? Everything is closed and now I need a bell on him.
So yeah, exactly. My dog does that too. We had to give him a caller with our address and number, because he'll find ways to run out. But the thing is, he always comes back. But sometimes it's like it's a long time, and he doesn't watch out for traffic. He just kind of runs. Yeah. So
that's stressful.
It's very stressful. So when he's gone, like, we usually chase him, because it's like he's not conscious of, like, people. You know, there's cars that are coming and that can hit you. But
my little dog is hilarious. We live on a hill. I'm on a hill right now, and so trust him to choose the most difficult way to walk. Up the hill he goes.
Up the hill. how old is your little doggy?
Okay,
8 pounds. A small little doggy with very short legs.
Probably a lot of energy.
A neighbor calls. I think I have your dog. Can I? Mm-hmm. Do you want to? Yes, I'll come and get my dog.
Usually the younger dogs also have the most attitude. Like, they're like, I don't need you.
Yeah, definitely. They think that, especially small dogs, they think that they're bigger than what they are. So my dog's always barking at people, but then he'll, like, run away.
If people want to pick him up, he'll do a little growl, and they're like, oh, is that okay? I'm like, the growl literally means nothing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, be easy when you pick me up. I'm tender, please.
Yeah.
And then he stops growling.
Yeah.
Like, it does not even growl. He sounds like a pigeon.
Oh, okay.
Well, Cynthia, thank you so much. We're looking forward to Aretha. We're looking forward to Aretha, your role in Black Panther 2.
And Blood and Bone.
And Blood and Bone. And maybe in the next Matrix movie.
I'm not going to throw it out the window. I love that.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.